Before I go to prayer, I just want to mention to you that at the close of our service today, we are going to invite a person or two forward to become members. We did that at the earlier service. Several people were here that have been through the membership process approved by the board, and we're ready. And so we approved and accepted and welcomed them this morning. And we have at least one more here now in this service that also said, I'm ready, has been approved by the board, been through the instructions, and so we will do that at the close of our service. Wanted to mention to you again, a lot of names on your prayer list in the bulletin. Please remember those friends, neighbors, and family in your prayers. Lots of things going on in America, lots of things going on in our own community, and so please continue to pray for our leaders, our nation, and obviously those on the prayer list would surely appreciate your prayers also. Let's pray now. God, our Father, thank you again for this day that we can come together to worship you like this. Thank you that it isn't as cold, nothing like the last two Sundays. Thank you that you have allowed us to come safely in spite of some snow and perhaps slippery roads. Thank you that we can come here in this place and worship you collectively like your word instructs. Thank you, Father, too, for other churches that are gathering. I know that they are. All around, we pray that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, would lead all of us. And for those churches, Father, those gatherings that have not yet opened up or maybe are closed down again because of COVID or something, we pray for them also and ask, O Lord, that you would lead all of us. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are here today, thanking you for each and every one, knowing that some don't feel well right now. Some are struggling with things in their mind and their heart and their body and their lives. And I just pray, Father, that you would intervene. You would walk with them and encourage them and carry them in this pathway called life. I do pray again, Heavenly Father, for this nation. I pray for the salvation of this nation, this state, our communities. I pray, Father, that salvation would come to millions of Americans and billions around the globe for the glory of God. I do pray also, Father, this morning for a fresh pouring of your Spirit and full-blown revival in our hearts. Revive your church in this nation, O God, and use us for your glory, I pray. There's plenty of struggles, and Lord, I just pray that we, your people, would be the hands and feet of Jesus, filled with your Spirit, led by your Spirit, and available to you. And so as we look at your scripture this morning, Father, would you guide us by your Spirit? Would you speak to our hearts, as you have spoken to mine over these last couple of weeks, reading this passage a number of times? Will you speak to us? Will you convict where conviction is necessary? Will you enlighten? Will you forgive us? Will you guide us, Lord, as we look at Scripture? We want to hear from you as we have come to worship you. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where we're going to be. And I know you know these verses, because if you've read them once, you've remembered them. You've seen them online posted often lately. People are talking about them often lately. And if you've been around here any length of time, you also know that I have referred to them on numerous occasions. But after hearing a message from Pastor Francis Chan a couple of weeks ago challenging me and the church on these verses, I wanted to take a look at them again and see if they speak to you like they've spoken to me. And I believe Pastor Chan wanted us to be listening and spoken to. So why challenge us? Why look at them again? Well, perhaps just to take a really close look at ourselves and our walk with Jesus, and see if there's any possibility that perhaps we have fallen into one of these categories, perhaps even guilty. As I examine these scriptures and examine my own heart, I know that I have been guilty, and I have confessed before the Lord these times, these occasions, these topics. And so, as long as we have been in the end times conversation for a couple of months anyway, let's pick it up in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm really only going to talk about, to any length, the first line and the last line. There's a lot in between. I know that you've seen that before, and I will touch on it, but I'm not going to read it. I know that you know what's there. But here's what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, he said, that in the last days perilous times will come. Okay, we all know that. We've been talking about this here for a couple of months. You've seen it online. You've read the scripture. We are very, very familiar with what he's saying. We have sensed we're in the last days. But here's what got me. Okay, we're talking about end times events anywhere. We're talking about the second coming. We're talking about the rapture. We're talking about the signs. Paul said, in the last days, perilous times will come. And the very first thing he said is what spoke to me as much or more than anything else. That's what Pastor Chan also emphasized, but this spoke to me as I read it. When those times of peril come in the end, one of the evidences will be for men will be lovers of themselves. One of the evidences of the end of the perilous times, the very first thing he lists for men, people, will be lovers of themselves. And then when you press through these verses, reading all the attributes, the difficulty, the ugliness that is there, you get to that point where he builds on it and says, more evidences of the end and the peril of the time will be lovers of people, will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They will have a form of godliness, but Paul says to Timothy, they will be denying its power. Now let us take a break for a moment from that. If you've been listening to Christian radio, read Christian publications of any kind in the last 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to know what I'm going to say. Because in Christian news these last few days and weeks, you've noticed that very, very difficult allegations, reports, and findings of the late Ravi Zacharias of sexual improprieties for a very, very long time and very, very poor choices have happened. You've read that. You've heard it. If you have read other publications, perhaps listen to Christian radio. I didn't happen to hear it there, but I read it on numerous other occasions. You would also have heard and seen of the ousting of the latest pastor of the megachurch called Hillsong in New York City for serious violations of his marriage vows and his commitment to that church and his commitment and call to follow Jesus Christ. You would have heard that or read it. If you look at Christian Post like I do, because I like to be aware from a Christian standpoint, you would have also seen this post. This comes from they would call themselves progressive church, evangelical, they would say. But the Grace Point Church in Nashville would call themselves progressive, and Christian Post quoted them this week when they said, and I quote, from this church, the Bible isn't the Word of God. Self-interpreting, a science book, and it's a rule book, isn't inerrant or infallible. Rather, it is a product of community, a library of texts, multivocal, a human response to God, living and dynamic, end quote. You say, Jim, what's that got to do with anything? The Apostle Paul said to Timothy that in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves. And when we start becoming in love with ourselves, me, the president, the pope, the priest, Ravi Zacharias, you, or anybody else, when we start becoming in love with ourselves more than we love Jesus, these things happen. We start feeling entitled. We start feeling perhaps we know more than Scripture. Perhaps we start feeling it's, as this quote was, isn't the Word of God. When we love ourselves more than we love the living God, these things happen. I don't think I'm better than Ravi Zacharias. I don't think I'm not here to discredit him or the latest pastor at Hillsong in New York City. I'm not here to do that. But when the Apostle Paul said in the last days perilous times will come, he meant it. And when the Apostle Paul also said the time will come when even people in the churches will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying its power, he meant it. It can happen. It does happen. And it will happen if we are not completely surrendered to Christ. I'm not saying these pastors weren't, but I am saying what Scripture says. Paul said, perilous times will come. And part of the identity, the way to identify those last days, is men and women will be more in love with ourselves than we'll be in love with the Master. That's what he said. And when that happens, those things are the result. Those kind of things are the result. Now, when you look at all those verses, I've just been focusing for the last 2 weeks on the first phrase because I've been guilty from time to time. And when you look at that phrase, lovers of ourselves, all the rest of verse 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and all of those attributes, none of them pretty. When we become lovers of ourselves, maybe we weren't at one time, maybe we never denied ourselves the way we should for Jesus, but when we find ourselves in that category of lovers of ourselves, all these other attributes begin to show up in our lives and in our churches. All of these other attributes that Paul lists here in these other verses start to show up because we are in love with self. That every one of us can fall to any one of these traits listed here is absolutely possible when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we're not allowing the Spirit of God to lead us. We let self lead us. These things happen. I mentioned this in the earlier service, and it came to mind for Jim. Maybe it comes to mind for you. But in Matthew, Mark, Luke, more specifically in Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if we are going to be his follower, the number one thing he said, and those guys all listed it, we must deny ourselves. That, by the way, is the opposite of lovers of themselves. It's the opposite. And when Jesus calls me, he calls you, he calls us, and the next person and the next to follow Jesus, the first prerequisite is we've got to get self out of the way. We have to, or we will not follow him. We are still following self. And yet Paul says to Timothy, perilous times are going to come. And part of those perilous times are people, we, are just going to be hung up on ourselves. Pastor Francis Chan said in his sermon that I listened to, he said it this way, and I quote, I was reading a commentary on this passage in 2 Timothy 3, and more specifically, this phrase, lovers of themselves, and it said, this phrase, lovers of themselves, is the sewer pipe from which all other garbage flows. You see what he's saying? I think he's right. What he's saying in this statement, if I have become lover of myself, then look at all the rest of the attributes. Pick any 1, 2, 3, 5, 10. There's 15 plus. If I have found myself, maybe don't even recognize it, but loving myself, then, if and then. If I am a lover of myself, like I said, pick any one of them. Blasphemers. Boasters, where you say, Jim, I'm not a blasphemer. Look further. Unthankful. If I am in love with myself, he mentions things like being unholy, unloving, unforgiving. You see, friends, being lovers of ourself is what leads to all the rest of the garbage listed in the rest of these verses. And when we love ourselves, we cannot love the Lord our God with all of our hearts. We cannot love our neighbors. We cannot love our enemies the way Jesus said to love them. Chan said it this way, being in love with ourselves is actually the opposite of love. Think that through a second. I think he's right, because in the list, it has listed unloving. I believe it's the King James Version. If anybody has one of those, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's in one of the versions that unloving statement is used this way, without natural affection. That it says, Jim? Thank you. So we would ask ourselves, does Francis Chan know what he's talking about? Does Jim have a clue what he's talking about? When he says there, if men become lovers of themselves, we are then incapable of loving others. He lists unloving without natural affection. And so if and when we find ourselves in that category of lovers of ourselves, it will be impossible to love the living God, the Son of God, and be led by the Spirit of God the way He would have us, because self is still on the throne. We have not gotten self off of the throne, or we put ourselves back on the throne, and it will be impossible to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, or our neighbors, or our enemies, because we're still in love with self. Way too many folks only want to talk about themselves, Chan said. Too many folks are saying, in essence, come to my house so we can talk about me, Chan says. The truth is, they are obsessed with self and do not love the way we are called to love. Here's the point for us today. When we find ourselves in that category, even in the church, and it is talking about the church, because the last phrase that I referred to, Francis referred to it, Apostle Paul referred to it, having a form of godliness. He ain't talking about the world. So when these attributes come to the church, to Jim, I told you I've been guilty. I don't want to be guilty of in love with myself or all the other garbage that flows out of that. But I have been. And when these attributes come to the church, two things happen. I've said one of them already. We will not love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, strength, and mind, because we are incapable of that. We're still loving self. And the other tragedy about this, from the church's perspective, we will not even see the harvest fields. We will not even see the needs, the hurts, the tears, the difficulties that our brothers or sisters, our coworkers, our friends, our family, our neighbors are going through, because self is still in the way. And if we will not see the harvest fields because we are still in love with self, we ain't going to do a thing about it. We ain't going to do a thing about the harvest fields. The harvest fields doesn't matter to me because I'm in love with self. That's what the seriousness of this matter is. I said this earlier, and I think it didn't set well, but I'm going to say it again. Referring to the three examples I gave, and I'll say this again first, I do not think I'm better than they are. But sexual sin is selfish. You hearing me? I don't care who we are in church leadership. That is the opposite of deny yourself and follow me, Jesus said. It plays right along with what Paul said. Timothy, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, and men and women alike will be lovers of themselves. And so when we find ourselves crossing the line into sin or discrediting the Word of God, it is selfish. Why? Because I want to do what I want to do. That is selfish. That is not denying myself. That is living for self. That's what he's talking about. And in verses 4 and 5, when he said, lovers, Timothy, there's going to come a time when people are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I don't think I need to explain that to you. I don't think I need to explain that. That's where we're at in America. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That same group, Chan referred it to the church, us, because we love ourselves, because we love pleasure rather than loving the living God, we will have this form of godliness, kind of perhaps like Jesus addressed on the Pharisees in Matthew 23. We'll have this form of godliness, but we don't really have an understanding of the power of the living God and the Spirit of God. Paul said to Timothy, in the last days, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. And when he identifies this group, us, having a form of godliness, don't know anything about its power, all I can say is America has arrived at that place. Francis Chan said in his sermon, these are people in the church. Having a form of godliness are people who think they've got it all together with the Lord, but the reality is they're still in love with self. Here's what I boil it down to for Jim. Let me say this before I get there. In case you're wondering about eternity and salvation and following the Lord and stuff, the first thing we need to do is decide about Jesus. Is he worth following? Did he die for my sin? Is he the only one that's named that men under Acts 4:12 says, there's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved but that name of Jesus? We got to decide about Jesus. And if he's just an arbitrary afterthought, we better decide again. Because according to the Word of God, he's the only way to heaven. And if we're going to follow Jesus, I've said this, the prerequisite is we got to deny ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. Now, the question what I've been asking myself for the last few days as I listened to Chan and I read this over and over. How do I know if I'm still in love with myself? Jim? Charles? Any of the rest of us? How do we know? I don't want to be in love with myself. I want to deny myself. I want to follow Jesus. I'm pretty sure that's where you're at. And I ask myself in follow-up question, to answer my own question, what are the priorities in my life? Is he first? Is the Master first? Is he what I long for more of every day? Is he what I think about when I get up in the morning? Is he what I'm thinking about when I'm alone with the computer at night? I'm talking in general here to all of us. Is he what I'm thinking about on Friday night or Saturday night when the world is doing other stuff? Is it Jesus I want more of? Or is it the world? Is he first? Is he first on the Lord's day? That's what I ask myself. How's my prayer life? Is he first in my prayer life? Do I have any time for him in prayer? I mean, earnest, longing, give me more of you, O Lord, prayer. Not just a mealtime. Is he first in my finances? There's biblical instruction about that. Is he first in my talents that he has blessed me with? Or does the world get all of that? Is he first in my private life? I mentioned that already. That's what I've been asking myself. How do I know if I'm still in love with myself or I'm really in love with Jesus? Then I ask myself the follow-up question, what is priority? Am I longing for the weekend for fun with the world? Do I have time for his word? I got hours of time for Facebook or whatever you want to pick. Is he first? That's what I ask myself. Because if he's just getting my leftover time, my leftover talent, my leftover treasure, my leftover tithe, he ain't first. He ain't first in my life if that's what he's getting. Well, I guess I got some time to go to church today. Well, I guess I got a few bucks I can spare today. Well, I guess this is my time on Friday night, Saturday night. If that's how I'm living, we're living like Paul said we're living. We have come to that place. I have some arbitrary, skin-deep form of godliness, but I don't know nothing about the power of the Holy Spirit of God that comes into us when I surrender my life to the Son of God. That's what I've been asking myself. And maybe you think like I do and wonder, am I really where I should be with Jesus? In the last days, Paul said, perilous times are going to come, and one of those attributes is people are going to love themselves. And I'll say this to close, and I'm going to invite Gary forward to receive him as a new member. When I looked at this, I'm listening to Chan. I've read it 100 times. I've probably read it 200 times. I don't know. Maybe I've read it more than that in my life. And I'm listening to Chan, and I'm looking at these verses, and I'm thinking surface. I'm thinking surface stuff here. When I look at those first words and I say, okay, I'm understanding the last days, I'm understanding perilous times, and I then look at those first words and I see, for men will be lovers of themselves. I don't know if it's human nature, if it's Jim's nature only, but you want to kind of sugarcoat, and you want to kind of say, well, that ain't that bad. That's just kind of where you want to go. Well, really, Jim, I mean, maybe that's the enemy telling me, Jim, don't sweat the small stuff. That really ain't that bad. That's what I sensed when I read it the first time. For men will be lovers of themselves. And then I look at all the rest of them. If I'm in love with myself, I'm unholy, I'm unthankful, I'm a blasphemer. I can't love anybody else. I got some form of godliness in me, and I don't know nothing about the power of it. Then I start to think that first phrase takes on a new meaning. When we're in love with ourselves, all these other things start to happen. All these other things start to take root. And so maybe you're like me today. Maybe you're like me when I read that and listened to Chan and asked God to help me understand it and asked God to take another look. Take another look right here. Then I would ask you to do like I did and ask, is Jesus really first? Or has this end time phenomenon so set into the church, members of the church, participants in the church, has this phenomenon of loving ourselves so set in that we don't even recognize it, and therefore we don't recognize we can't love our neighbor, we're unthankful, we're unforgiving. Has that phenomenon set into us that we don't even recognize any of it? Maybe you're like me and got to ask, is he really first? That's what I've been asking. I want him to be first. I want him to be first. I don't want the things of the day. Pandemics, elections. I don't want those things to be first. I want Jesus to be first. And I think you do too. And I've had to repent and say, God, forgive me the times you haven't been first. Because there's been times you haven't been first. I want you to be first. And when you're first, I want your spirit to lead me so it's just evident he's first. Not to pat myself on the back. I've said it two or three times already. I'm not better than these other guys. But when we get hung up on ourselves, pretty quick we start having these other, well, entitlement perhaps. And these things start showing up. Is he really first?
And as we go forth today, the one thing that Pastor Jim brought up was that word deny. Deny yourself. It's a good app to have on your phone, Blue Letter Bible. You can look up those fancy Greek words. But that word deny just means basically to lose sight of or to actually forget one's own self-interests. It's a good place to start. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have challenged us not to think so highly of ourselves and to become absorbed into making ourselves the center of our own universe where everything else resolves around us. But Father, we also want to be challenged for those who may be struggling with their self-esteem and their image, that they may think because of things of their past, Satan has used that to make them think lower of themselves. So, Father, may we all come to the center and be balanced upon the image that you have made us, the image of you, that we are not only created in your image, but we have been designed to give you glory in many ways. That all begins through surrender to Christ, your Son. So help us to leave here today in a proper image of who we are, ambassadors, representatives of you. May we shine forth with the love of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen.